mietin tulevaa, ajattelen minulle tärkeitä ihmisiä ja sitä, mitä haluan tarjota heille. Nordea Private Bankingissä oma sijoitusjohtajani auttaa tekemään päätöksiä, jotka kestävät aikaa. Näin perheeni pysyy askeleen edellä. Nordea.fi kautta Private Banking.
Museojuttu. Museokeskus Fabriikin podcast.
My name is Iita Kulmala and I'm the museum educator at Museum Milavida. Our current exhibition, Vivienne Westwood Fashion from a Personal Collection, shows an amazing overview of 50 years of punk and glamour. Here with me is the collector himself, Lee Price, and photographer Kai Price, whose work is also the exhibition. Welcome here. So Lee, first of all, how did you start your collection?
My collection started when I was about 13 years old. I grew up, my grandparents were antique dealers and both parents worked during the 70s, which was a bit strange. Usually it was the mother who stayed home looking after the children. And my nursery was next to my grandparents' house, so I spent a lot of time staying at their house. And their house was surrounded by beautiful Serve, Boule, Meissen, furniture, ormolu pieces. So I grew up being dragged around antique fairs, and also my mother and grandfather had shoe shops. So I was lucky enough to be taken around Northamptonshire, where I'm from, the shoe factories, and seeing how these artisans made handmade shoes, you know, back in the 1970s. And it was amazing just seeing all how these people worked with natural fabrics and made things. And I suppose the same with antiques, seeing beautiful pictures, art and furniture as well. As I got older and you get interested in film, in music, in art, in history and everything, I found out there was this one lady, Vivienne Westwood, who sort of had taken inspiration from everything I loved as well. And for me, I was looking for this one answer, being a quiet, shy, introvert kid. I was looking for something like, wow, what do I like? What do I want to do? And I think I must have been about 12 years old, the same age as my son is now. And something clicked inside me where it was like, wow, yeah, Vivienne Westwood, she does everything I like, you know, from like when I love pirate films, when I love cowboy and Indian films, you know, Calamity Jane, you know, classic old films as well, even modern films at the time like Blade Runner. She'd done a collection on Blade Runner, a Clint Eastwood film. She did a collection Clint Eastwood, and then punk music that I liked, classical music I liked. As I got into new romantic music in the 80s, I found out she had inspiration with the pirate collections. And my favourite artist, pop artist, Keith Haring as well, I found out that he'd given her permission to use some of his prints, like Diablo Dog, on their Witches collection. And I knew I'd never be able to afford Keith Haring's art, so the only way I could obtain it was buying the clothes from that collection as well. So it, to me, it held all the answers of what I wanted to do in life and what I liked as well. It was nice, because I think as a kid growing up in that sort of time, you didn't have the internet. You had magazines like The Face, like ID magazine. So they were your answers. You walked around the streets, you saw people dressed really well, or you heard music, you asked people where they got the records from, you ask people where they got the clothes from, and then at the weekends you save your money up and go shopping to that town or city to find the shops and just build up, you know, rapport with friends and people like that.
So it's your personal collection that we have on display, so it really shows this personal interest that you have of Vivienne.
Exactly, yeah. Not everything. I mean, I have about 330 outfits, 100 pairs of shoes, 100 T-shirts. So it's just a little bit, some of the best pieces I have. But then again, that's hard to choose. What are your best pieces? So it's nice there that Milavida sort of handpicked a few things as well to make the decisions a little bit easier. And more so as well, it's nice to see what outfits they put together as well. I mean, I have a little reference point of how things look, but also it's nice to see how they've got outfits with shoes and hats and sort of put their own twist on things. And seeing it now, it looks amazing. It's always nice to see how different countries, different museums as well, interpret what you've got as well.
So do you feel like there's a certain piece that is particularly well put off at the exhibition or anything like that?
I'd have to say my wife's wedding dress, of course. So, I mean, lucky enough to work for the company for 18 years, one of the perks was being given the opportunity to have a free dress for my wife. So she was lucky enough to have two, three couture fittings as well, and choose any dress, any fabric that she liked as well. So it's lovely to have that on display with my suit that I wore as well.
And do you feel like the kind of feeling that you get from the collection is well portrayed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's lovely. They've got every single sort of genre, every single decade included as well. Walking through, it's, I always like to try and pick my favourite pieces or my favourite room, and it's impossible, which is great. That's one thing I love, is when you walk through there and you can't decide, because each room's got its own little hidden treasures and secrets as well. So I really look forward to people, the reaction, what they see when they walk into each room as well, whether they like it, they're confused, they think it's bizarre, how they interpret it. To me, that's what I love. Well, I was a bit sceptical at first when I started doing exhibitions, because I liked anonymity and everything as well. But after the first shoe exhibition I had, it was just a reaction from seeing people's faces, joy, laughter, smiles. Oh, my God, would I wear them? Oh, they're too high. How does anyone walk in those shoes? Wow, would anyone really walk down the street wearing that outfit? And a lot of the outfits I actually wore myself for work during the mid-90s as well. I used to commute to London. And in those days, you'd have the city bankers wearing the black suits, the overcoats with the bowler hats. And obviously, there's me standing next to them with maybe a pink Rape of Europa by Rubens jeans, matching jacket, umbrella, and my little suitcase with my sandwiches in, my mother had made me, next to these city bankers. And, you know, God knows what they must have thought I looked like or where I was going. But eventually, after 6 months, a few of them started asking me questions. And I said, oh, I work for Vivienne Westwood. And they were like, oh, that figures. Everything makes sense now, so...
Can you describe how it feels to wear Vivienne's clothes?
Yeah, I think, again, the one thing I noticed... Like, not only myself, but also when you meet people when you're working in the shop, it's like-minded people, and a lot of people sort of have a low self-esteem, or they're not sure of who they are, what they are, or what they want to do. And the easiest thing to explain it gives you confidence. You know, like when we were setting up the exhibition, it's lovely for everybody there to try the clothes on, because the easiest way to tell people about Westwood clothes is try it on yourself. How does it fit on yourself? How does it feel? And you put the clothes on, it just gives you this natural confidence. It gives you this natural posture, and you just feel amazing. It's not about being big-headed or egotistical. It just gives you confidence in some way, you know, and that's the one thing I love. And I found that through customers as well, be it celebrities, actors, musicians, general public, everybody shared the same common interest of this love for Vivienne Westwood and her clothes, be it back in the punk era, the new romantics, be it tartans, tweeds, the classical collections that Vivienne done, or more importantly now, the climate revolution, you know, the more political side, which is so important. She always seems to be at the forefront of everything. You know, at every sort of time in the 70s, she was there, the 80s, the 90s, and then now it's about save the planet, it's about save the oceans, you know, save Arctic, everything, you know, different causes. It's so important, and it's amazing that someone as powerful as Vivienne has achieved so much, can put all this goodness back in and be a voice for these people who are never heard.
So the first thing you think about when you think of Vivienne Westwood is maybe the punk aspect of it, but that's just such a small part.
Yeah, that's one thing I love. It's like most people seem to think, oh, it's punk. And then they see the classical clothes, and then something ticks inside them where they go, oh, my God, I remember seeing that. That's amazing. And then they think, oh, well, new romantic music. I didn't know that was her. So it's like, wow, there's so many different sides to Vivienne. It's amazing. And I think that's one thing the exhibition shows as well. It's each side of what she's done.
And even when you go further from the punk, there's still like little elements of it and things, kind of repetition of it. And I think that's really nicely done in the exhibition as well. You can kind of see the flow and her development throughout the 50 years.
Exactly. One of my favourite pieces, my first suit I got when I first started working at Westwood, the red McAndreas bondage suit with the bondage trousers, the waistcoat and the jacket. It's a beautiful Loch Carron tartan, and it's a classic suit, but it's got a little twist with the bondage trousers. And it was lovely. One of the guys at the museum asked me, like, can you actually walk in those straps? And it's like, you know, walking in them is easy. You know, thinking back in the 70s when people used to go to gigs and they're actually jumping up and down and dancing in them. And that was the whole idea of the clothes then. They were worn to be destroyed, to be ripped and torn because the fabrics were so delicate. So nowadays they're more structured fabrics in tartans and tweeds and wools that are durable, that you can actually physically wear and wear forever.
And it's also amazing how androgynous they are.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's the one thing as well. There's a few outfits as well that are men's, that I put on men's outfits and women's on women's outfits, and then they've sort of unknowingly turned it around, and that's what I love. You know, it's like, is that a men's outfit? Is that a lady's outfit? Wow. And you look at how old some of the pieces are, and even the photo shoot from Vogue 1981 for the royal wedding, that's what really got me into Westwood, was the centre page spread of the pirate collection. And I immediately thought of Errol Flynn in Captain Blood and Errol Flynn in Robin Hood. And I must have been about 8 years old at the time. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Who is that? Vivian Westwood. That's cool. And that advert, even now, it doesn't date. You know, it could be an advert that's in a magazine now. And that's the beautiful thing. None of the clothes seem to date. They just get better with time.
And that's also at the exhibition.
So exactly,
yeah. Or see it there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so all of these costumes and dresses and shirts and everything that we have there, they're really fantastic. But how do you know a fake from a real one?
Oh, I that's one thing I never like to say. I'm an expert on anything. So I don't get involved in that politics side of things. So I leave that to the experts. I'm just a collector, and I just like people to see what I've got, and hopefully it gives them inspiration to do something either in collecting or focus in life or a job or something that will just give positivity to them, and something will click inside and think, wow, that's given me an idea.
So you're still actively collecting?
Being married with three children now, it's very difficult. So it's more a case of selling a few things and getting little things, or now and again, like there was the collaboration with Burberry with the Burberry shoes, or there's the reissue of the super elevated Bruce Canard tartan shoes. I'll get a pair of those, but it's very difficult nowadays as well. But now and again, even at auctions, Kerry Taylor auctions, places like that, a few gems come up and you have to find the money from somewhere to get it, and then sell something else to replace it as well. I mean, that's how the collection started. At 5, 6 years old, I collected toy cars. Like every kid in the late 70s, I had a Star Wars collection. And then I sold all of those when I was a teenager to fund the Westwood clothes. So it was like selling one collection to buy another, but focusing on one thing. Because I think in life, and especially now, there's so many directions that you have to be seen, wearing this, going there, doing this, and it's so much pressure. Whereas when I liked one thing and was in Westwood, I could focus on that and it was obtainable, but more so the stories behind it and the influence behind it was everything I liked.
So from the Star Wars, there's actually a nice thing that you have together with Kai Price, who's also here with us. Do you want to tell me how the Star Wars addiction comes, and then about your life in collaboration as well?
I first met Kai when I was working for Vivian's son, Joe, at Achara the Jago, and Kai was the photographer there, and we immediately clicked as well, not only having the same surnames as
well. But you're not related?
Not related at all, even though we have the same star sign, we have birthdays two weeks apart, with the same age and everything. So the ongoing joke, it's a brother from another mother, so to speak, but we're not related. But just completely, I love Kai's work, and when I started doing exhibitions, I was sort of fed up that the same pictures get shown all the time. And then seeing Kai's sort of archive of pictures he's taken of Vivian's, unbelievable. And during lockdown, I was lucky enough to go through about 3,000 pictures, and it was just amazing. It's an exhibition in itself to see Kai's work anyway, not only of Westwood, but all the other celebrities he's pictured. But I loved Kai's work with Vivian because it was the missing piece, the missing jigsaw piece to what I was trying to say. Kai can show through his pictures. So, and that's the one great thing about a photographer, not knowing anything about photography, but to me, you look at a picture and a picture can speak to you. And that's one thing Kai seems to get with his pictures with Vivian. And he has like this access that no one else can have. And obviously Kai's a great storyteller as well. So not only is the story being shown through the pictures, but if you're lucky enough to speak to Kai about it as well, it's amazing. You know, he'll tell you a story about every single picture, like I can with every piece of clothing I have. You know, there's a story behind it. It's the same thing with Kai's pictures. And I think that's so important. It just works so naturally together.
And we are really lucky to have you here, Kai, with us as well. So do you want to tell us about your story and how you've come to work with Vivian?
Yeah, I just want to say, actually, what you were just saying now, Lee, I was just totally blown away by. You know, and I love those synergies because, you know, I discovered Vivian, I suppose, later in life. I discovered Vivian later in life and working with her. I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to jump in about a little bit. So there's a little bit of this that's going to need to be cut because I'd like have all my stuff in mind what I was going to say. But, you know, just going back to the Star Wars collection and some of the things that we found that, you know, I shoot Cannes Film Festival, one of the things that I do. And I'd taken this picture and it was Sandy Newton. She was walking down a catwalk in a Star Wars dress, Vivian Westwood Star Wars dress. And I showed the picture to Lee and I didn't know about Lee selling his Star Wars collection to first collect Vivian Westwood. You know, it was the one thing that, I guess from the sounds of it, it generated enough money to be able to start purchasing Westwood. And our whole journey so far with Lee, there's been all these synchronicities going on, which has just been amazing. And there's so many sort of different stories going on. And I think it's like this exhibition to be able to show Vivian in that light and to be also for me to be able to show her activism, because I feel like her activism and her clothes, I feel that my interpretation of this and how I see it all, you know, and I'm by far any expert, is that they're so hand in hand. You know, it's almost like the whole, that scenario about the chicken and the egg. What came first? Was it her attitude to life and be outwardly spoken, to strike out, to stand up for people's rights, you know, to be heard? Or was it fashion that inspired, you know, other movements and stuff?
How did you start your journey together?
Okay, well, I first met Lee, as Lee said, with Vivian's son, a child of Jago, and I had just come back off the first tour that I'd done with Vivian about talk fracking. It was a tour that was set up differently. I think she'd realised that the protesting actions needed to change, and actually we need to come at it from a more intellectual look on life, and we needed people to discuss. So we went round to different cities, from Manchester, we went to Manchester, Swansea, Edinburgh, Nottingham, finished up in London. And it was kind of amazing because all these people were backing it, and some didn't want to be in the limelight. You know, they were backing it, and but they were nervous, I think, to be in the limelight. And basically, what it was to invite people from the energy companies to come and tell people, well, if fracking is a good thing, come and speak to us about that. You know what I mean? Educate us on it. Do you like, you know, maybe, but the statistics don't show this, and the stuff that had been happening in the States. So when I came back, you know, I've gone to Joe's shop, I've met Lee, and as what Lee was saying there about the clothes, you know, he used to say, right, I want to try this on, let's try this, this will look great. And I'm like, there's no way that these two items are going to go so well together. And I've put them on and I'd feel $1 million, absolutely $1 million. And clothes have the power to disrupt amazingly. Do you know what I mean? I think my interactions, I've never looked back from that, you know, from that time. You know, I had my own vibe and my own look going on before, but I loved the fact that people would just stand and comment, or they'd come up to you in the street, you know, and just go, and they would just comment, you know, and I you know, I don't have one on now, but, you know, hats is a big part of my get-up as well. And I love the way it just challenges people. It really challenges people. Some people can't handle it at all, and they just laugh or go, yeah, you know, like a big cowboy. In fact, actually, sadly, the other day when Jordan passed away, I was in World's End about 2 years ago, and Jordan came into World's End, and I tried the big Westwood cowboy hat on, which is, this one's green, and it's got a sort of a burgundy band around it. And she was like, that's what you should take. You know, I tried a few hats on. So I love that. And I believe that life is like tribes. You know, I really believe in tribes. And I think once you find your tribe, life is totally different. Like, you know, it's life-changing. And I think that's across all areas, you know, not just Westwood. You know, even if you're bankers or whatever you're doing, you know, if you're into, I don't know, cycling or massively into walking, I think once you find your tribe in that, it's amazing. But I think with the clothes and with Vivian,
What would you say it's like working with Vivian?
Amazing. Yeah, working with Vivian's amazing. It's really good. She doesn't forget a name. I'll give you a little story now. So the big image you got in the exhibition, or the massive, massive one, is Vivian and a Welsh flag. And that was actually taken on a Dork fracking tour. And we'd gone, and I'd seen, actually, Jürgen Teller's pictures of Vivian naked. And I was just like, right, okay, she's like 70, 72, 73. And I thought, I can't ask to do that. And I don't want to copy Jürgen's work or anything like that. And we'd been doing this Talk Fracking tour. And the knowledge in Swansea around fracking was absolutely phenomenal. And I was really blown away by this. And I said, you know, can we get a Welsh flag? And I said, I'd like to dress you up in the Welsh flag. And she was naked. She might have had her knickers on or something underneath, but literally naked on the beach with the Welsh flag around her. And I was really nervous asking Joe, her son, if he minded, because I just was like, it's a bit of a weird thing. Do you mind if we get your mum naked and dress her in a flag and photograph her? And the thing is with this family, they just embrace it. They don't think, oh, no, this guy's a bit wrong, or that's not really quite right. You shouldn't ask somebody's son that question. They just embrace it. So we do the shoot on the beach. And next to them, there's all these firemen. Bless them. And they're half in their West suits. You know, they're all ripped and like thing. And I wasn't feeling inferior at all. But and they had their wetsuits half pulled down like they were Baywatch or something like that. And they were doing a shoot. And they came over and they said, they knew who it was. They knew it was Vivian. And they said, would you mind coming into our photographs? We're doing a calendar for one of the firemen who lost his wife through cancer, and we're doing this calendar to raise money for a cancer charity. And she just strolled over, and it was just the nicest thing, because you know, your heart just sort of melts to that stuff. And you know, and if you'd have gone through any kind of official route for that, it would never have happened. You know, and Vivian doesn't have a telephone. She doesn't, you know, she'll obviously have a home phone. She doesn't have a mobile telephone. She goes off on these walks, comes back, you know, like whenever no one can get hold of her. Everyone's like, where's Vivian? She's off on a walk, you know. So I think there's lots of moments that I've seen like that are absolutely mind-blowing, make you feel a bit tearful, a bit overwhelmed. And, you know, I've never seen this calendar. I didn't take any photos of it. I didn't want to document that, because I wanted the firemen to have their moment, their pictures, and they certainly didn't need me in there, you know, taking photographs. I'd already shot what I wanted to shoot. So really, so lovely to see that image used so big. and well. And then it's interesting because as we walked around the exhibition, the jumper you have,
Deep Sky jumper, yeah.
The correlation between, you know, the actually all these images and Lee's clothing just goes so well in different areas as well, doesn't it? I definitely think that, yeah.
So through your photos, Kai, we get this like person of Vivian to be really, really visible to us as well. Whereas, like, there's a huge fashion house, you know, the Westwood fashion house, and then there's Vivian as a person, and that's a beautiful combination that we get at the exhibition. How do you feel about that, Lee?
Yeah, I think Kai's the missing piece because the most important thing about now is all the active resistance, all the climate revolution work that Kai's documenting now, and that's the missing piece. That's access I don't have to anymore. And obviously seeing the pictures, you know, speaks volume. So it's there and it's great. And it would, you know, that's why I was saying with Kai's work, it's just that missing piece that's desperately needed as well. And people can just look at the pictures and just think, you know, wow, it's not just about punk. It's not just about the new romantic movement. It's not just about the classic English tailoring. It's, you know, about the present here and now. That's what matters as well, and that's the next stage. And it's almost like the work's gone full circle. It's just gone all the way back to the beginning again, you know, because it was very anti-establishment then in the 70s, and now with the work it seems to be very anti-establishment now if you're, you know, trying to hound these big companies, you know, make your, you know, political statements as well. So I'm not into politics or anything, but to me they're just beautiful pictures that speak volumes, that are talking about an amazing cause, and it's one way of getting that to every single person out there, because everybody knows who Vivian Westwood is. So this is the cause, and you can easily follow it as well. I think what Kai was talking about as well, the first time I met him and get him trying clothes on, that's one thing that to me was important in working in a shop. It's not about selling clothes. It's not about hitting targets. It was about showing people a story. The easiest thing to do is for somebody to walk into a shop. The thing I loved, you know, it's like people come in, oh, I haven't brought my wallet with me, I haven't got any money. Amazing. Take a handful of clothes, go and try things on. Get out of your comfort zone and try something on, because 9 times out of 10, someone will put something on that they would never have dreamed of putting on and go, oh my God, I feel fantastic in this. And even if they don't buy it there and then, they'll walk away, you know, the seeds planted inside their head. It's like if you go to an art gallery and you see an amazing picture. It's like if you go to the cinema and see an amazing film. It's like if you're walking down the street, you see an amazing car. That's the pull that Vivian Westwood clothes have. It just makes you feel amazing, but also it's attainable. That's the most important thing as well. You know, you have access to do that. You can walk into a shop and try something on. You know, you're not lucky enough to walk into an Aston Martin garage, pick up the keys and take it for a test drive. With Westwood, you can actually walk into the shop and try it on. You know, there's no airs or graces as well. With a lot of shops nowadays, high-end shops as well, even for me, I feel intimidating just holding the door and opening, even stepping inside the shop. That, to me, is not what it's about. Kai told the beautiful story about Jordan and when he was trying the hats on as well. As working in retail, she's an icon. You know, she was someone I looked up to, like, wow, I want to be like her. Like, she seemed so amazing. And again, she looked so intimidating with her dress, with her makeup, but there was such an amazing person behind there. You know, I would have loved... I never got the opportunity to meet her. She came to the village where I'm from. She visited my mum's shop. She sells vintage Westwood clothes. And, you know, my mother got a picture with her and everything, and I always wanted to meet her to ask her, you know, about Andy Warhol. You know, the pictures, you know, she was good friends with him. What did they talk about? Did he take a picture? Not just a picture from Interview magazine that she was on the front cover, but what did they talk about? You know, there's so many things you'd want to know. You know, even you do the same thing with celebrities when they come in the shop as well, from bands and actors. You know, wow, you went into World's End, or you went into Seditionaries, or you went into Let It Rock, or you went into Sex. What was it like? What did you buy? Have you got anything left? You know, that was the first thing I used to ask people. it was like, wow, what was it like in the shop? You know, and everyone used to speak about Jordan, and it was just like, what an amazing presence and person this is. And it's really sad that she's just passed away and everything, even though I didn't know her. But at the same time, seeing on social media all of this amazing post about her as well, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I mean, my mum has a little shop. We probably get 100 likes. She got over 700 likes just for this little post. And it's just amazing. It just shows you how powerful one person can be. And Vivian's fitting tribute as well to her as well. It's just amazing. You know, it's fantastic.
I mean, at the exhibition as well, we hear of so many iconic characters, not just Vivian, but everyone around her. You've mentioned Keith Haring,
yeah.
You know, all of these different ones. Malcolm McLaren, of course, everything about Sex Pistols, all of that. So it's a really, like, history of not only fashion, but also of music, of culture, of everything that goes around in that last goes along in the last 50 years or so. And I really love the way you said, Kai, about the tribes as well. You find your own tribe, and it doesn't have to be just one tribe, right? You can belong to specific groups. Absolutely. All around, and it can change, just like it has with Vivian as well. She's gone from one one type of clothing to another and another, and everyone can definitely find something that they love at the exhibition. It's not just for punk people.
It's an exhibition for everybody. That's the most important thing. Young or old, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter if you understand the language, you know, the clothes talk to you, the pictures talk to you. That's the effect it has on people. I think that's the most important thing as well.
We had this great moment, the moment Kai had just arrived here at Tampere. We had barely walked for 5 minutes when some fashion blogger already stopped us to get a video of them just walking down the street. So it's really, just like you said, you love this kind of when people have some kind of a reaction to anything that you're wearing or anyone is wearing, and just discussing about it. And yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm always fascinated how clothes provoke an action, you know, a reaction in people. I don't know, I think there's something, it just seems so mad to me. It seems absolutely mad that you know, because somebody is in a hat or somebody is intimidated. And once, I think the thing is, initially it is intimidating, and once you get over the intimidation, actually you realise there's somebody very, very sound. And it was a bit, it's like what Lee was just saying then about Jordan, you know, when you look at these icons and stuff like that, and they're really outlandish, and it's almost like you feel, or, and this is my perception, it almost feels like they're part of some sort of elite group. But actually, when you're just yourself, when you just speak to somebody, you realise that's not the case. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, that's not the case. It's not an elite group. But I do believe in tribes. Yeah, absolutely.
That amazing picture you took of Lou Reed as well. I mean, the Warhol Polaroids book, where it's got one of my favourite pictures of all time of Lou Reed. And it wasn't until I was a teenager that I realised he's actually wearing seditionary sex clothing as well. It's like, wow. And Kai had the opportunity of photographing him as well. It's just like, wow. Again, there's a story within a story within a story. When we start talking to each other about stuff, it's just amazing that there's another piece of the jigsaw puzzle that's relative. It's almost like you're just destined to meet and do something. So, you know, and it just happens by chance. That's the beautiful thing. You know, there's nothing manufactured about it. It's just a natural thing that just seems to happen. It's lovely. So, and again, hopefully that's what people see within the exhibition as well. They'll get this natural reaction to something that will just spark something off creatively in them, or give them focus. You know, it will just tell them, you know, what's the right path for them to do, you know, to go in life. It's amazing. And for kids as well. You know, nowadays, I'm not sure what careers advice is like for kids nowadays and everything, but that's one thing that used to worry me. I used to love having kids working in the shop for work experience, because they're the next generation. It was not necessarily free information, but it's just like an interest. What do they like? What don't they like? Because these are the people of tomorrow. These are the most important people. And it's lovely to see how they see the exhibition as well. You know, how they see the different clothes. You know, there's that beautiful story of Malcolm McLaren walking in New York, seeing this guy wearing a Sex Pistol, never mind the Bollocks T-shirt. And he went over and asked him if he knew what the T-shirt meant. And it turns out it was Afrika Bambaataa. And I loved Afrika Bambaataa, you know, the early days of house music. And, wow, Malcolm was there to see the birth of the first warehouse parties in New York. Again, right place, right time. You know, it's crazy, the double dutch, the rope skipping. It's just amazing, you know. I remember watching, I think, Afrika Bambaataa. It was the early 80s he came to London. I've got this amazing image of Afrika Bambaataa, just the shadow of him as well. And then it turns out I found that story about him and Malcolm meeting and talking. It's just crazy. It was every genre of music I liked. I don't think there's one genre of music I like that there hasn't been some influence, you know, that Westwood and McLaren have taken from that. It's just amazing. So it is literally something for everybody.
And I'm really glad you said about the kids, because as a museum educator, I'll be the one who sees all the students that come there and their reactions, and really trying to kind of encourage them to think for themselves and go to the direction that they want to go to, that there's a freedom of speech and everything, that you can just, you know, go your own path, because that's really what Vivian wants, right? That's the kind of ideology behind all of that goes throughout the exhibition, with all the different badges that are there and all the slogans in the shirts and everything. So it can be shocking, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's all about the next generation, you know. But I mean, I think the thing is, you know, we're 49. Sorry, I'll just say that. No, actually, we're 48. Let's just write.
I'm 49. You're 48.
Oh, you were just 49. I'm still 48, yeah. For a couple of weeks. and it's all about the next generation. And one of the things that, you know, we went to our old Prime Minister's house in a tank one day, you know, and for one of the stunts about fracking, we go to his country house and we turn up in a tank. And the police had, you know, the police have blocked parts off and everything. And there was this really very good group that started up around the fracking called the Nanas. And the Nanas were, what it says, you know, grandmas. And they took their grandkids on the protest because the clashes with the anti-fracking had been quite violent. And almost some people had said like a private sort of police force involved in a way. And the thing is, with bringing the youngsters in, it gave them a purpose in being involved, which hopefully inspires them in a different way. But also it brought a real softer approach to it, like a much more... You know, these matter. These causes matter, right in the heart of families. It's not just about pair of boots, dreadlocks. Do you know what I mean? You know, really going on and stuff like that. So I think we've seen a real change in how we educate young people, which I think that's, you know, there's plenty of moments like that, and the more that I know that I do with Vivian, like the more I see of this all the time, you know, that the. You know, we're interested in next generation as well. You know, how do we inspire kids? How do we, you know, teach them to look after the environment? Because, you know, if all of this stuff with climate goes up to a certain level, you know, and everyone's using the year 2030, I mean, all of that stuff is on us, isn't it? You know, before you know it.
And it's such an interesting combination that the climate activism, all of this, and animal activism and so on, compared to fashion industry then as well. I'm sure that's going to be something that I'm going to be discussing with a lot of groups at the exhibition, because it's kind of a controversial idea that you are in fashion, which is all about producing lots of clothes and new things. And she's used all kinds of... You had a sheepskin coat at the exhibition, right?
The PowerPoint one.
Yeah. There's one of those, and all of this, like, are you using leather? And she works for does activism for PETA as well, and so on. So all of these things are really interesting aspects of her personality and how she has developed in the last 50 years, and so on. How we should all develop. How we should all kind of be aware of how we are living in this world.
Well, there's a photograph in there that's in the exhibition, and on the front of it it says "Buy less," and that sparks some interest as well, you know, and some debates after it and so, because on the back what you don't see is, because of the way that I've shot that, and you know, and I'm with agencies as well, so I've, you know, I'm lucky that I have the I suppose the right channels. I was going to say the power, but I'd say, let's say, the right channels to get her stunts really well exposed, what should we say? And so buy less T-shirt is only one side. When you turn it around, the other side says choose well. And so people only picked up on the very first thing. And I think that is the thing with social media. Whilst I think it can do... it can do well and stuff like that, I think it's this real thing to condemn people just in a second.
And we've got those little quotations by Vivian throughout the exhibition as well, because she is very snappy. She has a way with words. And then at some point she said, I take back everything I've said before this and so on. So she is allowed to change her mind, obviously. But for example, things like, I don't approve of museums, just trying to get people in. That's one of the things. So it's great that we still have this exhibition.
Well, as a kid growing up, one thing I never understood is, like, I loved Vivian's work and collecting it, and I used to frame all my T-shirts and have shoes on display and outfits on display, and apart from the V&A in London, I couldn't understand why clothes weren't in museums. And that's one thing I'm looking forward to now. More and more museums are understanding the importance of clothing, that clothing is art as well. It's not just something you wear. To me, you know, I'd love a house with everything on display. That's how I'd have my clothes, because that's my art as well. And because of the references to the clothes as well, they're taken from artists as well. So why shouldn't they be in museums? You know, that's the thing I find really strange. And when you're looking at what museums are trying to do and achieve nowadays, it's the right step forward. It's doing something different. And it's also capturing, as Kai said as well, the imagination of the kids as well. You know, I think it's important when kids come there as well, they're all on social media, just to make sure they hashtag the museum as well, you know, to get it out there, to advertise the fact. One interview asked me as well, why come to Finland? Why come to Tampere? And it's like, well, why not? You know, why should someone have to fly to a major city or go to a major city to see something different? Why can't it be on your doorstep? Why can't you have access to it to see it in your own hometown as well? You know, that's more important than anything, to be quite honest, I think, as well. Because, again, you might just capture that one person who's going to make a difference, who's going to make a change, and they were inspired by something they saw in a museum, in an art gallery as well. And they might never have the opportunity to go to a major city and to a major museum, which is really sad. So, you know, let's come to you rather than you coming to them. It's a no-brainer.
And I think really the costumes and dresses and all kinds of clothes have a very important part to be a part of the discussion in the museums, because they don't only tell the kind of historical story, but they also tell such personal stories. Because you've also said that you wear most of the clothes, or you have worn them, and lots of them are just for use. So that's also why it's really difficult to get collections like this on display, because people have worn out their Westbrook clothes.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the whole idea. You know, you wear your clothes. You know, in some respects, I'm contradicting myself, because I'm collecting them and not wearing them. You know, some of the clothes I literally can't fit into anymore. Some of the ladies' corsets, there's no chance I'd fit in. I don't even know a child who could fit into them as well. So, but you collect them. That's the whole idea. But the majority of them have been worn. I know my wife will look at the exhibition as well and go, "That's my dress. That's where did I wondered where that's gone. Where, oh my God!" And it's the same with my mother. My mother's lent me a few pieces that I've bought her over the years as well. And it's just amazing that a lady in her late 60s can still look fantastic in an outfit. It, you know, the clothes have no age barriers. That's the beautiful thing as well. There's no excuse. You can't say to yourself, "Oh, I'm too old to wear that." It doesn't work, you know, it's not the right answer here. You know, everything should work. There'll be something that you like.
I do like that. I do like what you just touched on, though, just now, about taking the exhibition to the people. You know, where, and it doesn't need to be a major city. You know, I grew up in this countryside. I grew up by Lyme Regis. I always knew I was going to be a photographer, and I hated shooting landscapes. I just found it not inspiring at all. I would see good things in, like, amateur photographer, but I always wanted to photograph people. And it was people that interested me, and it was, you know, subcultures and countercultures and stuff. So I feel very, very privileged now to where my life's ended up, because I really do everything that I want to be doing, and I feel very lucky for that. But I thought that was a very nice touch, you know, because I would have loved to have seen some exhibitions like that, you know, come down to a Dorset. And I know you as well, you were saying about growing up in Northamptonshire, you know, and lucky that you had shoes and everything else up there. And Dorset's is a lot further away. And I don't really remember going to big galleries and stuff as a youngster. Do you see what I mean? But I was very inspired, like Lee was saying, from The Face and ID, you know, all these great magazines that are around. So it was a different way. And then Top of the Pops, and very influenced by music and what was current as well. So it's nice. I think it's nice that the exhibition's going to not just like...
It's like seeing The Tube. I remember there was a Friday night, so you got home from school and used to watch The Tube with Jules Holland and Paula Yates, and just to see what, not only the latest music, but what people were wearing as well. And I remember seeing The Cult on there with Spirit Walker, Ian Asprey, and how he was dressing like a Native American Indian. And obviously, being obsessed with cowboys and Indians, John Wayne films, you know, Rawhide, the book that Vivian and Malcolm used to get inspiration from the Savages collection as well. And again, all of these things sort of fitted into to place as well. You know, when you see some of the other bands, Ten City, they were wearing Westwood, you know, Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, Bow Wow Wow, you know, they were, you know, oh my God, they were walking advertisement. Malcolm McLaren was their manager as well. Hazy Fantasy, Jeremy Healy, you know, it's amazing. You know, he later became this amazing, fantastic DJ. It's just brilliant. Every single walk of life and every single bit of music, I know I keep saying it, but it's so true. You know, it's just amazing. You know, you can't get any better than Afrika Bambaataa to start it all off as well. It's just great. It would have, you know, I just think to myself, what would have it been like in New York, in that warehouse, just seeing guys DJing for the first time, you know, putting these records together, mixing them together, you know, what were people wearing as well? You know, what was Malcolm wearing? You know, he'd obviously have his witch's hat on or something, with a buffalo hat. It's just amazing just to be there at the right time and see it. And I think for me growing up, I was lucky enough to have the sort of, I was too young for punk, a little bit too young for New Romantic, but at least I had Acid House. You know, that changed everything as well, and that created a buzz and everything. But, you know, I sort of feel nowadays, what have kids got now? You know, there was the Britpop thing. You know, what's for kids now? What have they got? You know, will the internet give them all the answers? What's the movement now? So I love meeting kids, and I say, you know, what do you do at the weekends? What is there? You know, for us, it was about going shopping, dressing, buying clothes to wear at the weekend, to go to a club, to go to a party. You dress for the weekends. You know, it was amazing. You know, does that still exist now? Is it just literally sneakers and sportswear? You know, that's the next thing as well. You know, what's the next movement? I think that's what what most people are looking for now as well. Maybe it's out there and I'm just too old and I don't know about it. That's the beautiful thing. So that's one thing I'd love to see with this exhibition as well, with kids. You know, hopefully they'll start their own little movements up as well, like I say as well, tribes. It's all about tribes, you know. Not a case of fitting in, but what fits you. Mm. And then how you can influence other people, because it just takes one person to be different and people will follow suit because someone will get it. Something will click with somebody and think, wow, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm part of that. And it doesn't matter what sort of music is, what sort of art or culture it is. It's just making that difference and starting something different as well. It's so important. But it's just getting that first little step and that first little piece to make the difference, I think.
So the really important thing is to expose children already at a very young age to really great art and
yeah, exactly, culture, history, definitely film.
And different types, not just anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
So all in all, the exhibition, what I've gathered from here, is a very personal one for both of you. It's your personal collection, Lee. All the pieces there are handpicked by you and then from your collection by our curators. And then the photos have a really, really personal connection to you as well, Kai. You've worked with Vivian for years and found this kind of feeling in them and her personality through your pictures. And that's all for show for us. So I thank you so much, both of you, Lee and Kai, for coming here and giving us this beautiful exhibition. And I wish everyone who goes there will have some kind of a personal feeling to it as well and pick your own favourites and learn to love the fashion that we show you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. More importantly, thank you for giving us the opportunity to show such an amazing museum as well. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Museojuttu. Museokeskus Fabriikin podcast.
Kun häly katoaa, on helpompi keskittyä olennaiseen. Siihen, mikä vie minua eteenpäin. Kun markkinat heiluvat, Nordea Private Bankingin asiantuntemus ja oma sijoitusjohtajani tuovat selkeyttä kohinan keskelle. Siksi valitsen kumppanin, joka vie minut askeleen edelleen. Nordea.fi/private banking.